Now, there's a very interesting passage, and we all probably know it by heart, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. But I'd like to read it to you now from the New International Version, because I believe it makes the meaning a little bit clearer. It says, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So there are a few points I'd like to bring out today. The first is that it says you have to appear 3 times a year. Now, as we know, there are 7 annual holy days. Of course, we're not even talking about the weekly Sabbath. The command to appear refers here to the 3 holy day seasons, not the actual holy days. If it were otherwise, then God would be telling us here that we do not have to appear before him on the remaining 4 holy days. But we are certainly commanded throughout the Bible to appear on every separate holy day. So when it comes to the autumn season, note that it says that we have to appear before him at the Feast of Tabernacles. Does this mean then that we don't have to appear before him today, the Day of Trumpets? Well, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. And let's read verses 23 and 24. Leviticus 23 and verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to me, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. It says, You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It's a holy convocation. The Feast of Trumpets is a holy convocation, meaning you have to appear before God on that day. So in Deuteronomy 16, it talks about the 3 festival seasons, not the individual holy days. It groups the Passover and the days of unleavened bread together in the spring. It talks about Pentecost occurring in the early summer. And then it talks about the 4 remaining holy days. And, of course, they are 4 holy days grouped together at the festival season in the fall. You see, the emphasis in Deuteronomy 16 is appearing before God. And only then does he tell us how to appear. And that would be the second point I'd like to bring out today. Deuteronomy 16 tells us that we have to appear at the place which God has chosen. In an article which was published way back when, in the Good News, on September 1983, it has this to say. If we had the opportunity to choose, some might remain at home or go to some other place rather than assemble with the rest of the church at the assigned festival site. It is a responsibility of the church leadership, guided by God, to determine the place. And then it says that we have to appear not empty-handed, but we are to give an offering or a gift in proportion to the way God blessed us. Notice this in Exodus chapter 23 as another parallel scripture. Exodus 23, and I'd like to read verses 14 to 16. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in you to came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, talk about the festival season of Pentecost, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the fields. And so the point is, again, we are not to appear empty-handed. That means we have to give a gift. We don't take up offerings on the weekly Sabbath, because the Bible doesn't say anything about that. But when it comes to the annual holy days, we do. God tells us we have to give a gift, an offering. He doesn't tell us anything about the size, except he says we have to do it in proportion to the way God has blessed us. Now first let me ask you the question, why does God even require of us an offering on the holy days? After all, he owns everything anyhow. He doesn't need our gifts. So why does he tell us to give a gift? Well, for the same reason that he tells us to tithe to him on a regular monthly or bi-monthly basis. We show him thereby that we appreciate the fact that he is the one who gives us everything which we have, especially during the Feast of Tabernacles, which we are going to keep and observe in a few days from now, when we feast, when we eat, when we drink, when we rejoice, when we spend all our second tithe. We must be careful. Careful that we don't forget God, the one who gave us everything. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, because the warning is there. The Israelites received that warning. We are receiving this admonition today. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 10. It says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Let's drop down to verse 17. "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So there is a tendency to forget that it is God who gives us everything. It's another way of saying, where your treasure is, there will be your hearts also. Something which we heard this morning. God wants to see what we are going to do with our money, with our possessions, whatever God is giving us. Are we showing him thankfulness by recognizing that everything we own comes from him? You see, the amount of our tithes is pretty much established. It's determined by what we earn. But God leaves it to us as to how much we want to give to him during the holy days. You see, when Israel left Egypt, God saw to it that they received from the Egyptians a lot of gold, jewelry, precious stones, other things. A late payment, so to speak, for all the work they had done for the Egyptians while they were enslaved. But what did the Israelites do with those costly things that they had received? Did they use them somehow in the worship of God? Not at all. And again, we heard this morning as well. When Moses was on the mountain to receive another special gift from God, the Ten Commandments, the Israelites took some of the gold and had Aaron create a golden calf to use for idol worship. Only later were they willing to use what they had received from God for the right kind of worship when they brought it to Moses for the building of the tabernacle. How are we spending our money? Are we showing God that we appreciate what he gives us? Are we like the man who had a very good harvest, but instead of distributing it to the poor, he decided to build larger barns for himself to store it? His focus was not on God. It was not on the need of fellow man. His focus was on himself. And God said, you will die tonight. What are you going to do with all that money, all those riches? And then comes the warning. Make sure you are rich before God. Make sure that your treasure is in heaven, where no thieves can come in and steal. And when we live in recognition that it is God who gives us everything we have, we will welcome the opportunity to give God something back in return. We will be cheerful givers. We will not be grudgingly giving something because we have to and we really don't want to. God wants to see how thankful we are for what he does for us. Let's not forget the poor widow who gave very little. But it was a lot more than everybody else because she gave from her sustenance and the others just gave from their wealth, from their abundance. You know, sometimes it takes faith and confidence in God to give an offering. But God tells us, promises us, that we will be blessed when we do it. He chided the Israelites of old, you can read that in the book of Malachi, for not giving him tithe and offerings. And he meant no words when he told them, you are robbing me. And they were under a curse as a consequence. But then he told them, prove me. Prove me if I will not open the doors of heaven to bless you abundantly if you fulfill your duties faithfully when it comes to tithe and offerings. The point is, we cannot serve both. We cannot serve God and mammon. If you are like the rich farmer who enlarged his burns, or his bounds rather, to keep everything for himself, then it will burn. God will not honor it. Those who are rich are to distribute to the poor, as we read. By the standards of most countries, all of us are very rich. If you have seen the pictures of those who are coming in now from Syria and other places in Europe, fleeing because of the curse of war and the aftermath, and so they're trying to find a new home in Europe, these are terrible pictures, some die in the process, realize that we are overall in this country very rich. But more importantly, we are very rich spiritually speaking. Because even in this nation, most people are terribly poor from a spiritual standpoint. They need to hear God's word. God has given us an opportunity to be his workers, his laborers. And that's why we ask you to pray that because the harvest is plentiful, bring laborers into his harvest. But you see, God doesn't need us. If we fail, if we turn our back on him, if we don't do our job in the work of God, he can rise and raise stones to do what he wants to get done. And the time will come when we will throw all our silver, all our gold on the street, because it will become totally worthless. We can't do anything with it. When that time comes, we had better be rich before God. But there's another interesting episode when we are thinking in terms of when Israel left Egypt. You see, they left, and when they were in the desert, they complained that God wasn't feeding them. And so first he gave them manna, But they were not satisfied with manna, and they said, no, we want meat. And so then God gave them a lot of quails. And apparently they refused to appreciate what they got, and even while they were still eating it, it says God became very angry and killed many of them because they didn't have the right attitude. But what is the interesting part here in this story? You see, they had meat. They had a lot of meat. If you go back with me to Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 31, here's what Moses was told by Pharaoh, or through his servants, who Pharaoh sent to them, asking them to leave Egypt. He says, then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise and go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And when you go back to chapter 10, this is exactly what Moses had said will have to happen. Exodus 10 and verse 9. Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And then verse 26 of the same chapter, our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God, and even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. The point is, they had a lot of meat. They had a lot of livestock. But they didn't want to use that. Because, you see, that was their security for their good old age. For the rainy day, so to speak, even though in the desert it doesn't rain that much. They didn't have the faith, the confidence that God would help them in the future. Now, of course, it's not wrong at all to have savings. In fact, we have always recommended in the church that we should have savings. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we have to be careful that our savings, that money we have put aside, doesn't become our God, doesn't become our idol, doesn't become anything we trust in, what we rely on. Let's make sure that our heart is where God wants it to be. Let's not be like the rich young man who didn't want to follow God because he didn't want to give up his idol, his riches. Because when we fall into that trap, then it's easier for a camel, and Christ meant this quite literally, for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for us to enter the kingdom of God. So let's now take this opportunity and show God how deeply appreciative we are for what he does, what he has been doing, what he will do in our lives. God has blessed us all in so many different ways, some with material, physical possessions, perhaps, but all of us with a spiritual knowledge and truth which only very, very few today have. Let's show God that we don't take that for granted. Let's show him that we truly understand the meaning of his saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive.